Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right, let me put it right there. Oh,
so you don't forget it. Lift up the progress.
Sorry. I'm gonna read that.
Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand and pray. We'll do offering after. Sorry for the late start today. Hallelujah. Let's call order though. Amen. Amen. I believe we're live, so
are we live?
Let's roll. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Did you see Nicole's hair?
I did. She looks adorable.
Cute.
Cute. All three of the baby girls.
Are
they? They look fabulous. They look fabulous.
Did you see Precious hair?
I sure did. She looks fabulous too.
All right. I'm going to stop embarrassing people. Okay. Let's go.
Fabulous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for this day, dear Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, dear Lord. I thank you that we can come together in celebration, dear Jesus, that we are excited, dear Lord, about prayer service, dear Jesus, and deliverance that's happening in this house, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, that you're covering every house represented on this day, dear Lord. Let us be blessed by your presence in Jesus' name, dear Lord. Let us come and sup in your word today, dear Lord. Let us be blessed, dear Lord, by the message that you gave Pastor Samuel on this day, dear Lord, that he is allowed to settle in his belly, dear Lord, and share with us, dear Lord. We came with hearts to receive on this morning, dear Lord. Open us up to hear your voice, dear Jesus, that we may grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We are here. So we're going to jump immediately into scripture because everything the Lord has to say, he gave it to me this morning. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I was saying, Pastor Ben, you know the Lord told me not to bother you.
Huh?
The Lord told me to never bother you. You remember the time that he told me not to bother you?
Is that when you were coming in?
When I came in and you were like praying for somebody and you were just yelling. You were like, you were going in. I was like, man, I said under my breath in the back, why is he so loud? I said, but he couldn't hear me. I'm in the back. And then right after I said that, he said loud. I'm loud because there are demons in here that don't listen unless you give authority and tell them with authority. And I was like, did he hear me? And then the Lord told me, when he's praying, don't mess with him. I went, yes, sir. So I don't care how much time you take. I am not bothering you. I think people underestimate. There's a Greg's other daughter walks around a very healthy young lady, and Pastor Ben, when he found out she had cancer, Pastor Ben prayed, and then Pastor Ben don't remember, but I do. He said the exact day she was going to be healed. And because it was like a feast day. It was a feast week. And he said, when they finish counting the Omer or something like that, she's going to be killed. And on the exact day, it was like the 27th or something, they called and said, she's out of the hospital. She's been cleared of cancer. And so Pastor Ben's been doing this so long, they haven't seen what I've seen. So they don't understand the anointing that God has on his life when it comes to prayer. And so, but I have. So when he's praying or when he's given the opportunity to pray for someone, man, take advantage of it. It is an incredible thing. So I would just thank the Lord for him as a partner.
Amen.
And so now let's get right into scripture. Look at that. Jacqueline even did her hair. She just doing everybody. If I had her, I would go straight to Jaguar. Okay. Let's go to Psalms chapter 2, okay? The title of today's message is God is pleading with you, okay? The Lord is pleading with the world to get saved. He's pleading with Christians, stay saved. He's pleading with the world, if you think they're evil now, wait till the Holy Spirit has taken the bride out of the world. Say, you haven't seen anything. In the pie sequence, and you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to say it anyway. In the pie sequence, there are sets of numbers, and 999 is repeated by 999, which means severe judgment. And so the judgment that's coming in the tribulation, God says it's severe judgment, okay? You're talking about a time of no mercy, okay? You can't really imagine what went on in the Holocaust because, but to have a whole, say you have a whole group of people, you just put, you dig a hole and you put 150, 300 people in the hole, okay? You dug it out. And then you put army people around it, and they just shoot them all until they die in the hole. Then you bury them. Then you bury their bodies back over. That happened in the Holocaust. That happened. Only reason they got the gas chambers because they said they were using too many bullets, shooting them and then burying them. That was taking too much. So now that was, now Jesus says in the tribulation, it'll be worse than any other time in history. So in the sequence of pi, you have 999 twice. You understand? And it means severe judgment. That's why God is saying, I'm pleading with you to get saved. I'm pleading with the world to stay saved. I'm pleading with you to stop lying to yourself. Because the time that is coming upon the world when the church is taken out is severe. It's not a light, you know, time. The people that are in heaven are there because they are killed. They say there are many people dressed in white robes, and they said they came out of the tribulation. You don't want to hear their stories.
Amen.
But they will, the only way that they're going to make it into heaven is to confess Christ until death during the tribulation.
Yes.
So God is saying it's a severe time that's coming upon the world, and we need to tell people, listen, I am pleading with you, get saved. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can you still get saved during the tribulation? Yes, but you don't have to see that.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
There, God has appointed a time for you to leave. Praise God.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Psalms, and we're going to be in chapter 2, because this is the way the Lord has me doing this. And I'm going to, the Lord wakes me up. I mean, this morning, I have nothing yesterday. I went to bed. I told Dre, I'm going to get my message done today. God's like, I'm not talking to you. It's the Sabbath. I'm waiting all day for a message. I get nothing. And I woke up this morning, and God just like, this, and then go there, and then this. And I'm like, okay. I say, see, Dre, how it happens? I said, did you? Because I wanted her experience. Well, this is what I go through. Nothing all day. Julia said, I'm glad God don't do me like that. She said, I need at least a week. Okay, we read this not too long ago, but I want to read it again. And we're in Psalms chapter 2. It says, why do the nations, and he's saying the Gentiles or the heathen, why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and their rulers gather together against the Lord and against the anointed one and against Jesus. Let us break their chains, they say. They want to be from under the authority of God. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters.
and the fetters are shackles. And it says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs at them. He laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And he rebukes them. He terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I have proclaimed the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Who's he talking to? Jesus. Amen. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the end of the earth your possessions. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, you rulers of the earth. Therefore, you kings, be wise and be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Who's the Son? Jesus. Kiss him. Make friends, right? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For the wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Yeah.
Are you in Christ?
Yeah. Amen.
Stay there.
Amen.
It is a city of refuge because the destroyer is coming, and anyone who doesn't want to be a part of the destruction needs to stay in the city of refuge.
Amen.
You're in that city, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So what are they planning? Okay, what are they planning? I was watching a documentary on 60 Minutes that all these farmers are protesting against the government for not receiving money, subsidies that they usually receive unless they bury their crop. And they're like, why are they trying to make, and then the people that can't afford to be farmers anymore, the government's buying up their land. And so these farmers were saying, it's like they're planning for a famine. And they said it and they moved on to the next segment, but I was like, rewind that. The farmer said, it's like they're planning for a famine. Why are they telling us to bury perfectly good crops? And if we don't, because they say, this is what they told them, there's not much nitrogen in the soil and it's not good for humans. So therefore we need you to bury this. And so the guy said, it's like they're planning for a famine. You guys need to know and understand something. Satan's been around a long time. And he's been watching it, and he knows that God has a certain time that he's going to pull the Holy Spirit and the church out of the world. No matter what stupid pastor tells you, there's no rapture, don't listen to them because they're not of God.
Amen.
Because he is going to take the church out of the world, and once he takes the church out of the world, then the Antichrist and they will have the freedom to be what they really want to do.
Yes.
Okay? So you guys have to know and understand that God is pleading with you because he created you. You're precious in his sight.
Yes.
He wants you in heaven. He wants you to see what he's created for you. For you to miss out on that, it's a very sad thing for God. And for so many human beings to be missing out on that is sad for God, because he created you in his image so that you can enjoy what he's created for you.
Yes. Amen.
And it's eternal.
Amen.
So God is like, look, let's go to Revelation chapter 6, because that's the second part that God gave me. Revelation chapter 6. God has given me such a great insight on this year and what's about to happen. He's not pleading on you for something that's way off in the future. He's pleading to people for something that's about to happen.
Amen.
And so people need to know and understand
Maybe you haven't studied enough to know everything, but I keep trying to tell you, and I know it's as ridiculous as anybody, because anybody can say God called me.
Right.
And matter of fact, the scripture says, in the last days, many shall come saying, I am anointed. I am the Christ. And it really is saying, I am anointed. So there's a lot of people coming saying, I am anointed.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to know me, really, to know that I am anointed, because you'll go, how did he learn all this? I knew him in college. How did he? So I'm trying to let you know something. Look, God has called me to do this. I'm doing stuff that is like so weird. Like, I'm into math. Composition numbers and prime numbers, and I'm like, only because it's God's thing and he's showing me, right? But I'm trying to tell you, God called me to do this, and from the time he called me to the time now, God has let me know this is how it's going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear a trumpet, you're going to be at a cloud party, and then you'll know your time is finished,
right?
Okay, at that time you'll know that this calling that I gave you January 1st, 2003, that this calling that I gave you will be over when you're standing on a cloud partying with your friends.
Yeah.
Okay? So I know who called me. If you just look at the studies that God has given me, you would just go, where did he get this? That's what people are telling me. I'm learning so much. I just go, me too. Because as God's giving it to me, I'm giving it to you. Okay, let's go to, you're in Revelation chapter 6?
What verse?
No, we'll start at the top verse. It says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Now, this is John, and he's in heaven. And while John is in heaven, the church is there. The seven lampstands are in heaven.
Yes.
John is in heaven, okay? John sees the crowning ceremony. He sees the 24 elders as they give him, as they give out the Stephanos, which is like a little crown, but it doesn't mean you're king. And they take them off and throw them at Jesus' feet. John sees this. John sees the wedding banquet. So then now we get to this portion, and John says, after this, I watch as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals, because John saw them give Jesus a title deed. They hand Jesus a title deed, and it's sealed with seven seals. And the only person can open it is if you're the one who's paid the price to own what's inside that deed.
Yes.
So they said, someone is here that is worthy to open the seals. Jesus, because he paid his blood for the life of those that are on earth, and he paid to redeem the earth. Give the scroll to him. He's worthy to open it.
Yes.
So John says, then I saw Jesus. He says, I saw Jesus. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seals. Remember, the church is in heaven. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse, and its rider held a bow. What's the first bow in the Bible? The rainbow. What was that bow? A covenant with mankind that I'll never flood out the earth again. So the bow is a structure of a covenant. This Greek word is tekia, which means he comes with something new to offer to the people. He's birthing something new in the earth. And here he is. He says, its rider held a bow, a new covenant, right? And he was given a crown, not a true crown, but a Stephanos, okay? That means he's not really king. He's just being awarded a crown, okay? So he gets this crown, and he rides out as a conqueror bent on conquest, okay? And so the thing is that he's bent on conquest. In anger, he's forcing himself to be the conqueror over people. Okay, he's riding on a white horse because what? He wants the people to believe that he's Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
So you got to understand, why do Freemasons buy churches? Because they're teaching their pastors to teach people about the coming of Christ, not the rapture.
Right.
We want you to know about the coming of Christ, because if Christ comes with no rapture, he's not Christ. Because he missed a very important part.
Amen.
So when he comes, they're going to tell people we need to obey the Christ. He's here. He's given us a 7-year peace agreement. He's brought peace to the earth, and he's going to rebuild the temple for the Jews. And then he's going to reign from there. And you're going to go, wait a minute. What happened to the rapture? You have to be smart. Okay. So he comes. So it says the first seal that Christ opens while he's in heaven is a seal that allows the Antichrist to go to the earth. Okay. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature say, come. And another horse came in fiery red, and his rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. And to him was given a large sword. And when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales. And I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wage, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil or the wine. And someone said to me, see right there, Pastor, we're already in the tribulation. Look at the inflation. You ain't seen inflation. See, but you seem like how when you get a YouTube channel, you can just say, I was watching it, and they said we're in it because we got inflation. And it says right there, when you see the inflation, we're in the tribulation. Well, the church hasn't left, first of all. And if this is real inflation, you haven't seen nothing yet. Okay, so we're not in the tribulation, but there will be a true inflation in the world. It says it'll cost you a whole day's of work to be able to buy a loaf of bread then. Okay, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. And the Lord said, this is what he's working on right now. Its rider was named Death and Hades, and was following close behind him. And Death and Hades was following close behind him, and they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, by famine, by plague, that means by disease, and by the wild beast of the earth. That's what they're working on now. Famine, disease, okay, and to kill a large amount of people. That's what they're working on, okay? You have to know that, okay? I'm going to try to find the scripture. I'm going to try to look for the scripture because God gave it to me in Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is. Let's go there. Because a lot of people really believe, like, your best life now. You know, God won't let us, like, just really go in on people. But anybody encouraging you that earth is the best life now is a crazy person. You can't have your best life now. It's impossible for you to have your best life now. Let's say you got $1 billion, you got sick and you died. Was that your best life now? Let's say if you got $1 billion, will that stop you from ever dying and getting sick? No, so that can't be your best life now. Okay? So your best life now is basically you have this life to connect yourself with God and true life so that you can have your best life forever. You understand?
Amen.
I'm just checking to make sure that this is the scripture. Well, hard to see. Okay, yeah, this is it. Colossians chapter 3. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ,
Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So if you're in Christ, what is your heart supposed to be set upon? Things above. I wish Paris was here to see his, but he left to go to basketball practice. But I want you to set your heart on things above. First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all that other stuff will be added to you. As long as you're seeking him second, it's like, well, you won't get nothing.
Amen.
Seek him first, then everything will be added to you. So I wake up in the morning, I seek Jesus. And then he says, oh, then your next move is to do this. Because now as you seek me first, I'm going to add all that other stuff to you. But you got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. God wants you to seek him first, okay? Now watch this. It says here, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. When did you die? When you accepted Christ.
Yeah.
You were done on that day.
Amen.
God said, now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old you has passed away.
Yes.
Passed away means you died.
Right. Yep.
You understand? So the old you has passed away.
Right.
It says, for you died and your life has been hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. So your true life is now hidden.
Yes.
In Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Amen.
So what's your earthly life for? To connect you to God. Your first idea and heart should be, how do I connect with God?
Amen.
Because if I connect with God, I'll have true life.
Amen.
That means what Jesus says, he who believes in me will never die, is true.
Yes.
All I'll do is walk through another door and then continue living, but then I have my best life forever.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Amen. So God wants us to be concerned with what he has planned for us.
Amen.
Because Satan has something planned for the earth. And Satan knows he has 7 years planned for the earth.
Yep.
And if people don't wake up because God is pleading with them, maybe you didn't go through the Holocaust. And I feel bad for anyone who went through the Holocaust, anybody who has felt any terror from another human being or from anyone. I feel bad for them because God did not make us to experience horror and terror.
That's right.
God made us to have peace, love, joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we have to know in us. See, God told me, that's why he said, this tells you I don't make horror movies.
Amen.
That's got to be something satanic.
Yep.
That Satan thought of.
Yep.
Let's make a movie about a guy with a hatchet that runs around killing people. And then you go sitting there with your Christian self. It's crazy, right? Christians don't watch horror movies. Okay, let's continue. All right, go to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to be in verse 28. And I'm going to make sure. Okay. You guys with me?
Uh-huh.
I want you to read this with me. It says, what do you think? Jesus is talking. Mine is in red. I hope yours is. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will. He said, I will not, his son said to him. He answered, but later in the Greek, it said he repented. He didn't change his mind, but that's the same thing, right? But later he repented and then he went and worked in the field. Because I want you to know and understand something.
God tells you to do something, you say no, but if you later repent and go do it, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay? So it says, I will not, he answered, but later he changed his mind and went, or you repented and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first one. So the second one was what? Lip service. So the Lord was telling me this morning, I want people to know and understand what you say don't mean nothing to me. It's what you do. Your actions are what count with God. Not what you say, is what you do. Because anybody can say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Okay, let's see what you do. Because now I'll know whether that confession was real or not by what you do when you walk away. Because if you walk away, now the Holy Spirit's in you, you're going to start trying to change your life and doing the things that are in the scripture to conform to the image of Christ. So it's not what you say, it's what you do.
Amen.
It's like I couldn't hear what you say because you were what you were doing was talking so loud.
See?
You understand?
Amen.
I like that.
I can say I do at the altar, but if I leave the altar and I start acting like I'm not, and I'm not married, then what I said at the altar don't mean nothing.
Amen.
Let's go. All right, let's continue reading here. I was at 28. Okay. And I was, okay, 31. It says, which of the two did? And we already did that. So let's go to it. It says, the first they answered, and Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collector and the prostitute are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. What's he telling the Pharisees? He's like, you say yes, but you don't do what I tell you. But there are prostitutes, tax collectors that are repenting and doing what I said.
Yes.
He said, they're going to get into heaven for you.
Yes.
Because you're a mouthpiece, right? And it says, for John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collector and the prostitute did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it. He dug a wine press in it and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard out to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servant to the tenant to collect the fruit. The tenant seized his servants, and they beat one and killed another, and they stoned the third one. Then he sent another servant to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them with the same way. Last of all, he sent his son. Who is his son? Jesus. He says, they will respect him, he says. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. They replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the share of the crop at the harvest. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scripture, the stone the builder rejected has become the capstone?
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in his eyes, saying that Jesus is going to be the capstone, and he's going to be the answer to salvation. Yeah. Then he says, therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit. He will fall. Now, it's going to be taken away from who? Who was it taken away from? The Jewish people, because they didn't obey. And he says, now it's going to be given to, and it says nations here in the Greek, but it means Gentile nations. It's going to be given to the Gentile nations, and they will take care of the harvest and produce the fruit. And the Gentile nations are witnessing what? Jesus Christ to people. People are getting saved because the Jews aren't preaching Jesus.
Right.
The Gentile world is preaching Jesus. There's churches in the Philippines, there's churches in Japan, there's churches in Europe, and there's Gentiles who are preaching Jesus so that they can get all of the fruit out of the land so that God can come and get the harvest of souls.
Yes.
Okay? So he, but he wants you to know this. Here, let me finish. And he says in verse 44, he who falls on this stone, meaning himself, will be broken to pieces. But he who falls, but he whom the stone falls on will be crushed. What is God saying? He said, I'm the stone. If you fall on me, your heart will be broken by the sin you've committed in your past. Your heart will be broken to pieces because of the things you've done that you're repenting over. He says, if you fall on me. But if you don't want to repent, the stone will fall on you and you will be crushed. So he says, either you're going to make friends with me, kiss the Son, or you're going to be judged by me and be crushed.
Amen.
So this is why God is saying, look, I'm pleading with the world right now to take refuge in me, to accept what I've built for you, to accept what I'm trying to give you. Your life here doesn't mean anything. The only thing your life here means is to connect you to God.
Yeah.
And if you go through this whole life, I don't care if you won 5 rings playing basketball. I don't care if you got millions of dollars and 2 mansions in Beverly Hills. If you die and you have never connected to the rock, which is Jesus Christ,
yes.
Your eternity falls into Hades and all you know is pain,
Amen.
Worms, and people who don't know God. Profanity, nothing going on there, no music there, no air, no water. Nothing there, right? See, nobody wants to talk about that, but God made a place for people that don't want to serve him.
Yes, he did.
Okay? God made a place for people who don't want to serve him. So understand and know this, what God is trying to give you, life. What you are trying to protect, life. Why are you reading your Bible when we're all going out? I'm protecting my life. You guys go ahead. Because nobody knows the day or the hour of their death. You could go out and that could be your last day. You don't know. But you need to know and understand, if I'm connected to God, I walk through a door and I walk on the other side and I go, give me my keys. and you go on with life. But when you don't connect with God, you are taking a chance on your true life. Okay? It's happening. It's his plan. And you know how God lets you know it's his plan? He told you history before it happened. He said, I told you when Israel would be back. I told you 19 years later, Jerusalem would be back. I told you when this was going to happen. I told you when that was going to happen. I told you that there's going to be a currency that's coming that you'll have to take 666 to be able to buy anything. That's happening. Everything that I wrote in here, 90 AD, they wrote about 666 currency. It wasn't until 2020 that they put it on paper and said, this is what we'll do. And God said, still doing it. I'm still prophesying. I'm still making it my book come true. And guess what else is going to come true?
the rapture of the church. Guess what else is coming true? 7 years of tribulation. And the second coming of Christ with us behind him, setting up a 1,000-year millennium. After the 1,000 years, guess what? The old earth and the old heaven, it disappears. And God says, you know what? This decaying earth has to go. I made you a brand new earth and a brand new heaven. And we'll see it coming down from heaven. And we'll go, oh my goodness, he's making everything new. You understand?
Yes.
That's ours. This belongs to us. The rapture is not the greatest thing you're going to see.
Right.
It's not the greatest thing you're going to see. Coming back with Jesus after the tribulation, and Jesus is riding in front of you on a white horse and you and the horse is behind him. It's not the craziest thing you're going to see.
Right.
One of these days you're going to see earth disappear and a new earth coming down. You're going to go, every time I think I've seen it all, God shows me something greater.
Amen.
And this is what I'm protecting. And this is a reality. If this is a religion, you got the wrong idea about this.
Right.
Okay, amen. Let me continue. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
10 minutes.
All right, because I don't want to complain.
15, I'm sorry,
Pastor. Okay, good. So I don't want to complain. You know, when you're talking to Debo, you'd be like, huh, it's our bike. Because God told me, don't mess with Pastor Ben. So, you pray as long as you want, sir.
It's our bike.
Here we go. It says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and being gathered to him, we ask you, brethren, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter supposing to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you. He should have said, stop watching YouTube. No, no, because I'm on YouTube, right? So I can't say that, but there's some nuts on YouTube. Okay. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until there is a departure. Apostasia, departure. Until there is a departure. So what's he saying? He's saying, don't let anyone deceive you, for that day will not come until a departure occurs. Then it says, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So the departure and then the lawless one appears. Okay? So once we depart and the lawless one appears, now look, precept upon precept, concept, everything has to fall into line. You understand? So we'll look at that in a minute. Okay? And it says, and the lawless one will be revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in the temple of God, in the temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that I was with you? It says, don't you remember when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. Something's holding him back. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. I agree. But the one who holds him back, who holds it back, will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way.
Amen.
So who's holding him back?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Guess what the number is? It's kateko. He who holds back is kateko in the Greek. Numerical value 1726. Okay? Now, there are two times in the Bible that it says, this generation shall not pass. One is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, and one is in Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Write that down if you can. If I minus 1726 from 2437, I get 711, which is what? Genesis chapter 7:1-1, the days of Noah. You understand? But I can't get the days of Noah until I minus 1726, which is the numerical value for the Holy Spirit, the one who holds back. So the days of Noah is not coming until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. You understand?
Amen.
Now, we don't know and understand how God is working with numbers, but I'm starting, because I've been dealing with these two mathematicians, and John, and another one named Greg Ellis, but they're like PhD math guys, right? But they're trying to say, you don't know half of what God has done to prove to the world that he says the math is what caused us to be Christians. Because when you look at the math, you go, who's doing this? This is crazy. How could someone do this? You understand? Like what I was telling you guys in the pi sequence. In the pi sequence, right after 2220, which is the voice of God, the ultimate voice of God, the ultimate chariot ride, right after 2220 in the pi sequence is 888, Jesus. There are thousands of letters in the pi sequences. How could it fall like perfectly right there? Then right after 2294 is 153. The fish, the church. So after the revealing and the connection with God, you get the church. But they're in a sequence of thousands of numbers. But how do they just land right there next to each other in the sequence that God is telling you the story? And then now, how do we get to all of these 222s in the year 222, in the year 2022? Revelation chapter 20. 21 and 22 ends the book. 2020, 2021, 2022, you're about at the end of the book. And God is keep trying to show me more and more, more and more, so that I could tell you, look, this is the time, this is the year. I'm begging you to get saved. I'm begging you to stay saved. I'm begging you who give lip service. Thank you. I'm begging you who give lip service to stop giving lip service. Repent and do. That's what God wants. Stop giving lip. Stop saying you're a Christian. Nobody cares what you say. If they see your actions are different, who cares if you say you are?
Right.
I would rather know you're a Christian by what you do.
Right.
I'm going to learn more. And people are always watching you.
Amen.
And you say you're a Christian, they watch what you do.
Amen.
That is so true. I remember in college, we used to go on. I was a Christian, right? And I'd be reading my Bible. And then we'd go play like Oklahoma, and we'd stay in these nice hotels. Sometimes the guys would steal the blankets. You know, bring them back, like, from the hotels.
Souvenirs.
Not souvenirs, stolen. They get a souvenir. You buy a souvenir.
Amen.
Okay. Like, they know I'm a Christian, right? So one time, we stayed in this real nice hotel, and the blankets were nice. It's like, I'm taking me one. Everybody else takes one. As soon as I took mine, guess what the news in the whole dorm. You know the Christian guy? He stole a blanket out of the thing. You should have seen him. Now, everybody got a stolen blanket, but when I did it, I thought you believed in Jesus.
Oh.
So when you speak something, you got to live it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's watching you. You might not think so, but they're watching you. And so God wants us, let's not be lip service, let's be actions, okay?
Amen.
I would have shown him I'm a Christian by not taking one. Okay, now what? Wait a minute. Okay, oh, check this out. There are two scriptures in the Bible that say, as it was in the days of Noah, Matthew 23:36 and Matthew 24:34. Put those four numbers together and you get 117. What does 117 mean? 117 is like, of course, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, which talks about what? The days of Noah. But what does 117 mean in Hebrew? See, that's what it does. Chapter 117 of the book of Psalm divides the Bible, and that name of that Bible study is dividing the waters because it's in 117. But 117 in Hebrew means close, intimate friend. So by God giving us 117, he's saying, this is the time of the close, intimate friends, okay? I'm giving you the end time prophecy because these are going to be my close, intimate friends. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, when he said, I took half the waters above the firmament and I left half of the waters below the firmament, and the waters were representing people, that's the rapture.
Yes.
And in that thing, he says, let it divide 117. Why did he say 117 there? Because the ones coming above are close, intimate friends. And the one below, you didn't make it. But guess what? You won't see your these close, intimate friends of God again until when? Till the days of Noah, when the water comes down back to the earth with Christ. So know and understand this. 117 was only to lead us to the fact that God is trying to tell you about the days of his close, intimate friends. Go to Psalms chapter 110. Psalms chapter 110. And we're going to try and finish up here. You there?
Yes.
Watch this. The Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand. Who's he talking to? Jesus. Until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. What do you think the numerical value for that is? 1170. What does the zero mean?
Ultimate.
It's the ultimate. So when God tells Christ, okay, sit here and wait until I make your enemies your footstool for your feet. This is the ultimate expression for my close personal friends. So that means Christ is in heaven sitting while judgment is going on the earth with his close personal friends in heaven. Because the next step to being a close intimate friend is what? Marriage. So the church is married in Psalms 110, and we thought back in 2010, this is going to be the year of the rapture. God is like, no, this is the year. I'm telling you that this is the next clue. 117 is the next clue. And what is 117? These are my close, intimate friends that I'm taking into the kingdom of God. But I'm adding a zero to it here because this is going to be more than just the 117, the starting of the flood, the 117 that's there when the Holy Spirit is taking out of the earth. All of this is just steps showing us. So this is the process God has put me on. I'm giving you clue after clue after clue after clue till I lead you to the year. And now everything's going to line up. 2, 2, 2, 22, 22, harvest, 22, wheat, 22, everything's 22. So now all of this is coming to pass in this year, and this is why God is saying, I'm pleading with people. I'm pleading with people to change your mind and come with us. Change your mind and believe in Christ. Change your mind
and fall on the rock so that the rock doesn't fall on you. Change your mind, because this is going to cost you your life. And this is going to cost you a time that you're going to have to live through that God did not intend for you to live in. God is trying to get people to change their minds about how they feel about Jesus. Change your mind about your religion. Because if you believe in Catholicism and you know that Jesus didn't preach Catholicism, and Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, then what you believe in is a lie. Yeah. If you believe in Mormonism, Christ didn't preach Mormonism, so you got to repent and ask Jesus to forgive you and believe the gospel, because what you believe in is a lie. It takes a lot to repent and to turn to God, but God is pleading. He's pleading with people. Turn away from it.
Amen.
Some guy was a black Hebrew Israelite trying to tell me that God created English, so we shouldn't be saying the name Jesus.
Really?
I mean, Satan created English, and God didn't create English. Satan created English, so we should call him Yah or Yahuwah or whatever they, because you don't speak Hebrew, so don't pronounce stuff that you can't pronounce, right? So we should be calling, and I'm like, bruh, look, repent of that. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. And he was telling me, and he said the Lord woke him up and told him, you're right, it's a lie. He's like, you're right, it's a lie. And he called me the next day. But he's still trying to argue some of their points. Don't argue their points. They were all lies. Because we talked about a game. I don't know if you guys used to play the game. You tell two truths and one lie, and the person got to, somebody got to, the person got to guess which one is the truth and which one is the lie. Did you used to play that? He told me about that. I said, well, that's what they did to you. They told you two truths and one lie. And now you're caught up in Hebrew Israelites, but you've been lied to. It only takes a little bit of arsenic to poison a perfectly good glass of orange juice.
Amen.
And that's why I say stop sending me people teaching Bible studies, because when I'm listening, I'm listening for the poison. You're listening for the things you want to hear.
Right.
Oh, they're talking about the rapture. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, wow, they believe in 7-year tribulation. That's wonderful. Oh, it's before the tribulation. No. And then, but I hear foolishness. I hear the poison and I go, oh, I can't believe he said that. So now I got to get back to the person and go, I don't want to listen to him. He's crazy because he said this, right? If you know the word of God for yourself, then okay, listen to everybody, because you know what counterfeit is. But until you get to the point where you know what counterfeit is, you can't go around taking dollars from everybody. You understand?
Amen.
Even when you go in the store, they put that thing in the machine. Mm. All right. Then you get your stuff, right? You can't listen to everybody. The Bible, get back to your word, your Bible. If you spend 2 hours on YouTube, you can spend 2 hours in the word.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So I think that's about it, but I wanted to read Luke chapter 21 first, and then we can go. You guys, I'm telling you, the Apocrypha says, God says, I will not be concerned about those who didn't make it. God says that. He says, I will not be concerned with the evil people who have rejected my word and my truth. He said, but I will be joyful over those who have honored the name of my son and have walked in righteousness.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm like, wow. God is like, you know what? I'm not gonna be spending time crying over people who didn't want to hear and didn't want to listen. In Thessalonians, it says they did not enter in because they refused to believe the truth. They refused to believe the love of the truth. Therefore, that's why they were rejected. They refused. They heard it, but they refused to believe the truth of Jesus Christ. So they defended what they felt was their religion. Well, I'm once saved and always saved. Don't defend that, because if you practice sin, you're going to die. That's just truth.
Amen. Amen.
Don't practice sin. And if you happen to sin as a Christian, repent and keep walking and walk in Christ.
Yeah.
But don't use it to be a way that you can continue sinning because you say you're a Christian. That's lip service. Live it. Amen. Show me your Christianity.
Amen.
You in Luke? You guys know this is my favorite scripture, and I'm going to read it right now. Okay? And it's verse 32. It says, I tell you the truth. This generation, what generation? From 1948 to 2028, in that whole year, it says, that whole generation, it would have been 70. God is gracious to give 10 more years. It says, I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away till all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That means there's going to be a rapture. There is a hell. There will be a tribulation. His word will not pass away.
Amen.
So therefore, he says, be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. You're so worried about life and getting ahead, you done forgot about Jesus.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So make sure that your life is not weighed down by dispensation, drunkenness, or the anxieties of life, and that day close upon you unexpectedly like a trap. You understand that? These anxieties come upon you and you forget and put Jesus on the back burner. Now you don't seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first, how am I going to get myself out of this situation? First of all, you can't get yourself out of this situation, but you got two knees that can hit the floor that can get you out of that situation. But you scheming, trying to figure out how am I going to... Dude, give it to Jesus. He can get you out of it. But right now, while you're trying to scheme a way to get out of the situation, you're putting Jesus on the back burner. Big mistake, because your true life is in Christ, not in recovering from your situation.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hit your knees and pray, and God will do that for you. So it's a simple process. We just got to stick with what the Lord is telling us. Okay. And it says, and that day will close upon you unexpectedly like a trap, and it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth, like COVID. The rapture will come upon everybody who lives upon the whole earth. You like the whole earth, everywhere, every. That couldn't happen. You know it can happen. You was here in 2020.
It can happen.
Okay? For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Therefore, be always on watch. Pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Praise God. Thank you guys for coming, and thank you guys for listening.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wednesday and Thursday, me and Pastor Ben are on vacation, and we will be back next Sunday.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.